Oh, we have some wonderful readings today. We hear that the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. We pray again with the psalmist, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." And we exclaim with Paul, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." And we hear the outrageous grace of God. "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." It's hard to know where to begin. I'm going to start with semantics. Because the stories of the lost, and we have the lost sheep and the lost coin, and then that's followed by the lost son, can also be called found stories. Found sheep, the found coin, the found son. At the same time, don't want to diminish lostness. It's been a few tough years for feeling lost. Cut off from each other due to pandemic fears, programs, schools, ministry, opportunities ceased. Some are slowly coming back. Some stopped completely. And our normal shifted more quickly than we did, adding to our lostness. And there are different ways to become lost. You know, this one sheep wandered off, possibly looking for greener grass. The coin was probably dropped through nothing it did. And we too can wander off or get dropped, looking for greener pastures, sometimes led astray, sometimes going on our own, sometimes we're just dropped. In Exodus, especially in verses leading up to our reading, the Israelites show that they've put their loyalty on Moses and not God. Speaking of Moses who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, not this God. When Moses is delayed coming down the mountain, the people move to other gods, hence the golden calf. In this case, it was the people's fear that led them to create other gods to worship. They were without water in the desert. Their fear was high. But they messed up, losing themselves at the first sight of danger. And the Lord was mightily angry and wanted to simmer in that anger until Moses pleaded with God, "You know, you'll look bad if you kill these people, and remember your promise." And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. And the story makes us wonder which gods we worship today. Yes, there are many ways to become lost, and one way to become found. Our reading from Luke begins with a contrast between tax collectors and sinners and Pharisees and scribes. Apparently, sinners are drawn to Jesus, but religious leaders complain that he accepts and even eats with sinners. What is it about Jesus and what he does that elicits such different responses? Mark notes these differing responses to Jesus. Matthew kind of develops a theme, but it's Luke who brings it to the front. In two stories, Jesus addresses tax collectors, Levi and Zacchaeus, and then feasts in their home. In another, a sinful woman kisses and anoints Jesus' feet with ointment at a dinner in a Pharisee's home. In these stories, which have meals as a venue, at least two things happen. First, some kind of transformation takes place in a sinner's life. Although Jesus does not judge or remark on any sinful behavior. Second, the Pharisees criticize Jesus for eating with sinners. Yet another story compares a Pharisee and tax collector at prayer. The former thanks God that he's not like all these other people. The latter beats his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." It goes like this. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves will be humble, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. It's easy to fall into the trap of the first person. You know, when Jesus says, "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?" I imagine there are a lot of folks thinking, "Not me. It's crazy to leave the 99 to find one." But the shepherd and the woman in our stories evoke images of a God who not only actively seeks out individuals who are lost, and note the emphasis on the one out of the 99 and the one out of the 10, but also rejoices when they are found. This God is not a tyrant who demands subservience to impossible demands, but rather a God who actively seeks restoration, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So what happens when the sheep or the lost coin are found? Note that the verb here has to do not with forgiving, but with finding. The Greek word for find occurs 7 times in the chapter. When the sheep or lost coin is found, no comment is made on any sinful behavior, again, as in the stories of Levi, Zacchaeus, and the sinful woman, but a connection is made between God's finding and rejoicing over what was lost and the sinner who repents. Now, unlike the English word repentance, which implies contrition and remorse, the Greek word has to do with a change of mind and purpose, a shift in how we perceive and respond to life. When God finds us when we are lost, our usual ways of perceiving and responding to life are transformed. And when this happens, there is great rejoicing over the one sinner who repents. In the parable of the lost sheep, again, this phrase is contrasted with righteous persons who need no repentance, echoing the contrast that introduces the parables. We should note, however, that the emphasis here is not on a contrast between two different types of people, you know, tax collectors and sinners versus Pharisees and scribes, at issue here are two different types of responses to Jesus and God's reign. Sinners repent because they know they are lost and thus can avail themselves of the transformation that comes with God's finding them. By contrast, the righteous don't need to repent or change their ways, presumably because they don't think they're lost. They don't need God to find them. They are justified either in their own eyes or in the eyes of others. Earlier, Jesus had warned, "Unless you repent, you will all perish, that is, be lost." Later, he will state that he came not for the righteous, but to seek out and save the lost. And it's easy to become lost. It's easy to give up when lost. But it's also easy to be found because it requires nothing on our part. Someone is searching for us. So we put our trust in God and who God is, a seeker who is not fatigued and experiences joy and celebrates when the lost is found. In her article in this month's Living Lutheran, Bishop Elizabeth Eaton ends with the following from Luther's Small Catechism, the second article of the Creed, and it works for today too. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Amen.